What God wants to communicate to his people may seem way ahead of where they are. But God is a God of purpose. He's a God of plan and objectivity. Nothing God does or says is said in a vacuum. There is always a reason for it. And what I've come to grasp and understand is that God thinks more highly of me than I think of myself. God thinks more highly of you than you think of yourself. God thinks highly, more highly of us than we think of ourselves. And that generates a kind of conflict for us, because what we know about us and what God thinks about us are miles apart. And truly, what sin ultimately is that difference between what God thinks of me and what I think of myself. Because what I think of myself is what causes me to sin. When I think of myself the way God thinks of me, I cannot sin. You say, what do you mean? God thinks of me that I have everything, that I'm blessed and highly favored, but I think lack, therefore I steal. Therefore I lie. Therefore I cheat. Therefore I betray. Because I do not accept what God says about me and that I am all sufficient in him. I do not accept that I am totally loved, therefore I commit adultery, fornication, and whatever else. Because you don't accept what God says. So the difference, the gap between what I think of myself and what God thinks of me is the gap called sin. Do you understand? So God says, whatever is not done on the basis of faith, it's sin. But what faith? My faith? No, his faith. His faith, because I accept whatever it is that he says to be true in my life. God says, I'm healed. I say, yes, I am healed. And therefore, I command my body to obey what God said. For every word that God speaks is a command to be obeyed. Are we together so far? Now, it's one thing to say what we're saying. It's another thing to be. Notice I didn't say to do. I said to be what God is saying. Somebody say with me, I must be what God says about me. I have no choice but to be what God says. God says, I am blessed, therefore I am blessed. I will walk blessed. I will live blessed. People will see me blessed. I refuse anything that contradicts what God says about me. He says, I am healed, therefore I'm healed. I'm walking in divine health and prosperity. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, beginning to read from verse 1. Behold. The Greek word is eido, like I do. Behold. 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 Think about that word. Behold. It is to see in a very intentional way. You don't behold without being intentional. You can see without being intentional. Behold has to be intentional. Behold means that you observe. Behold means that you are focused. You are very present and very aware. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, granted, given to us. Behold, he says, behold, behold it. The kind of love, what manner of love, the kind of love the Father had bestowed upon us. So it's saying, I want you to pay attention and be very intentional now. Don't be casual about this. Be very focused. Focused on what? The love. Be intentional and consider how much God loves you. Be intentional. Be focused on how much God loves you. God loves me. God loves us. Be very intentional about that. God, the God who gave up his very best, his son, Jesus Christ, won't he also give to you every other thing? That's the word of God. I've given you the whole thing. So what else am I going to hold back from you? I've given you my very best. I'm going to hold back money from you. I'm going to hold back health from you. I'm going to hold back from you what? I've given you everything. I've given you the very best. Listen, I've given to you my Lamborghini. Am I going to hold back from you this bicycle? Come on. That makes sense? Yeah. But we act like God is holding back something from us. That's what we believe. And it is based on one simple factor. We don't accept the love. Now, God loved me when? While I was yet a sinner. When I was worse than I am now. God loved me then. Is it now that I am better than I used to be that he will love me less? Think about that. Behold, what manner of love the Father, our Heavenly Father, hath bestowed upon us. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. That we should be what? Called. That we should be what? Called. The sons of God. Some say, I'm a son of God.
I'm a son of God.
Not just a friend. I'm a son. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, for me to behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon me, I must be led by the Spirit of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I must be led by the Word of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's going to tell us more, and the more that He's going to tell us is the part that is out of this world. Because the earth, this place that we are, is our training ground for something greater. I don't know what that greater is, but that God has something on His mind, and it's not the earth. Here, He trains you and I to be what He wants us to be. I don't know if God wants to take you and I and plant us in different planets. I don't know. But God has something on His mind. What God has on His mind is God. I don't know if you heard what I said. I said, what God has on His mind is God Himself reproduced in you, so that whatever it is that He does, you get to do also. And here I'm complaining about I don't have $1,000. I don't have $50,000. Or I need new glasses. I'm complaining about all kinds. I need new teeth. Huh? And God intends for me to be able, oh, this might be too much for, let me say, every one of us to handle. God intended for you to be able to grow new teeth if you wanted it. And He's given us examples in the world. A lizard loses its tail and grows a new one. God has given us examples in the world. There are things that change. A snake comes and goes out of its old skin and comes out with a new one. Youth renewed. If a snake can do that, what do you think God had on His mind? If I am greater than this snake, an eagle can pull out all of his old feathers and come up with new ones. His youth is renewed like the eagles. What do you think? I think the reason why I shed all of my skin, do you know that within, if you are a brand new, complete new person within 9 months. Everything that you had 9 months ago, cells and everything, change within 9 months. I think it's more like 3-4 months, but I'm giving myself 9 months. Huh? Did you know that? That you are completely revamped. Now, we're revamped not to go old, but to stay young. Do you think we are going to have a big bucket of oil of Olay in heaven? Elizabeth Grant. No? We're going to have opticians and whatever. Orthodontists and all of that. Well, because in the atmosphere God is calling you and I to, all of that is totally not necessary. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Behold, man of love, the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And all creation, the Bible tells us, is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But watch this. It says, therefore the world knoweth us not. The world knoweth us not. Kinasko. Meaning that the world doesn't understand us. Meaning that the world does not have intercourse with us. And therefore cannot produce, we cannot produce this hybrid thing. If we understand that we are the sons of God. But when I don't understand that I'm a son of God and that whatever it is that is in nature is under my power, because God ordained for you and I to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue, yeah? To dominate. If I don't understand the core message that God has input inside of me, then I will allow the viruses of this world to come and corrupt the system. What we've allowed is to allow the devil to hack into us. I must declare this day in the name of Jesus that I am not hackable. Hallelujah. I cannot be corrupted. The word of God says we've been born with an incorruptible seed. What is that seed? The seed of the one who called himself the Son of God. And the Son of God is manifesting himself. He lives in me and with me. Hallelujah. Are you with me so far? It says, therefore, the world knoweth us not. The world doesn't know us. They cannot relate with us. Why? Because it knew him not. It knew him not. Beloved, loved ones, now. Beloved, now. Someone say, now. Say it again. Now. When? Now. This moment, not in the future, this moment, in the past, which was this moment in the past, now. In essence, God is saying, let your past be part of the now that you are the Son of God, because now covers the past and the present. Oh, is somebody listening? Are we together? So, I was the Son of God. I am the Son of God. I will be the Son of God. Therefore, I am the Son of God. Past, present, future. There's no change. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I have always been the Son of God. I was created the Son of God. Now, are we the sons of God? And then it says this, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It's not in reference to the sons of God, as in present now, but in reference to what God intended or intends to do in the future. You get it? But we know. Someone say, we know. Say it again. We know.
We know.
One more time. We know. We're not ignorant. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. When he what? Appears, we shall be like him. When he appears, we shall be like him. What is he now? Because when he appears, he's going to be exactly what he is now. And who and what is he now? He's God. And we shall be like him. We shall be like God. For we shall do what? See him as he is. The key is seeing him as he is when he doth appear. But the problem is that we think, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we know that when he shall appear. And this is what we do with, we know that when he shall appear, we do just like Mary did in John 11, or Martha did in John 11. I know. Huh? Let me read it to you. John 11. Give it to me from verse 20. Let me take it from John 11, 20. It says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, watch this now, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. That's a word of faith, right? But watch the other flip side. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And here, Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at what? The last day. One moment she's speaking faith, like now, I know, if you ask now, he's going to come alive right now. And when Jesus says, okay, that's, yeah, that's right. You say, let's in the last day, sometime in the future. And so the Lord says to her, watch this, 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, past tense, yet shall he live. But now we think, yet shall he live, is in the future. Nobody's talking, yet shall he live, right now. Take me to the grave. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came out. One of the worst things we've done to ourselves as believers is that we have taught ourselves something called progressive growth. God does not think in terms of progressive growth. God thinks in terms of now. The tree that grew when Jonah went preaching, did it take a few years to grow to become a shade? No. Like that. You think God created Adam and Eve like little babies, like we just have? Maybe it's Mother Earth that birthed as a baby and he grew. No, God does not think in those terms. God is a God of the now. Whatever he wants to do, he does now. I am holy now. Now, faith is the substance of things that you're hoping for. Are you with me? Let's go to John 14. And let us consider how we think. Because this is, I suggest to you, our handicap. And we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. In John 14, the Lord says, John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Yeah? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I will come again and do what? Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What have we done? We have postponed that mansion to the future. The Lord said, I'm going to come. I'm going to receive you to myself. Question, has he received us to himself? Are we where he is right now? So why we put in this mansion to the future? Did he come back? Did he receive them? Then the mansion must be prepared and is ready. Can you consider for a moment that the God who said, let there be light, and created all of this with one statement? We have pushed the I don't know what kind of button this button is. It's the slowest delay button that we've pushed on God to make God so slow he has not been able to produce the mansions. He told us he's done it. It's right there. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Look at verse 4. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. What is God doing? He says, you know it. Why? Because he's a God of faith. He doesn't give us progressive knowledge. He gives us knowledge. He says, you got it. I downloaded it into you. Is somebody listening? So, Pastor, where are you going with this? I'm saying the delay is not God. The delay is us. Not acting like people that know that it is done already. If God says, I've given you something, he's not giving it to you. He gave it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This is what I want you to do. Purify yourself. Make sure that you're always ready, because this is what I have in store for you. On this Father's Day, I want us to consider this, that God has done what he needs to do, because he said on the cross, it is what? Finished. There is more to me. There is more to me. There is more to me. There is more to you. There is more to us than meets the natural eyes. two prophets in the book of Revelation controlling weather, controlling everything. They knew who they were and what they were about. We live in a world and a time when we, as believers, are compromising the truth of the Word of God just to fit with the world. Why? We don't know who we are. We don't. Moses goes to the court of Pharaoh knowing who he was. He had one experience with God at the burning bush. We have an experience with God at Pentecost. Same fire. The early disciples used that fire and they told the world upside down. Here we are in the 21st century trying to body up with the world. The word of God says they don't know you. Huh? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Let's go back to it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And verse 3 says, and every man that had this hope in him purified himself even as he is pure. Now let's go back to verse 1. Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, because we call the sons of God, therefore the world knoweth us not. That's what it says. That tells me something. That if I, as a child of God, am compromising the word of God and the reality of who I am, the world will get to know me. The world gets to know me, appreciate me, heal me, because I have not stood out as a son of God. We are not here to be liked. Friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. The world is not going to like you if you know God and are representing God correctly. The world will be against you. Reason? They did not know him. And the reason they did not know him, the Bible tells us they persecuted him. Yeah? So if you know God and you're standing for uprightness and righteousness and the manifestation of God in the earth, the world will hate you, the world will persecute you. That is the reality. I accept it or I don't. What are you going to do with your faith? What am I going to do with my faith? Am I going to be the manifestation of the sons of God? Well, God says that he has graced me to be that. He's graced you to be that. Wherever you are, whatever it is that you're doing, this is what we must be. Not by trying, but by becoming what God says about us. How? Because we appreciate the love of God. God loves me. And the God who loves me is going to use me to manifest his glory. Amen? Praise the Lord. I encourage you to read through 1 John chapter 3. And you're going to find out. Actually, let me do this. Let me go to the last verse. of the chapter, which is very directly connected with what we talked about week last. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. Remember, the word of God tells us that for us to be fruitful, he has to abide in us and we have to abide in him. Yeah? So the word of God says, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. What commandment? The commandment to love each other. That's the commandment, to love. So he that keepeth the commandment of love dwelleth in him, and he in him. Both things that cause us to truly be fruitful are embedded in that. Love. And hereby we know that he abided in us by the Spirit which he had given us. The Holy Spirit. Says that's how you're going to know that he abides in you. By the Spirit. What bottom line is this Spirit? The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. If you allow the Word of God to abide in you, then you're going to be the manifestation of the sons of God, because the head honcho of the manifestation of the sons of God, or the Son of God, is the Word. Yeah? So if we allow God's word to abide in us, we're going to produce what we need to produce. And that child of God is what God has called every one of us to do. It's not just about shouting, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I am praying. It's about, God, you had an intention on your mind. There's a reason you created me. I want to be the reason why you created me. In my image and in my likeness. In our image and in our likeness. I want to be not just a man. I want to be God-like. Do you know how much the devil hates that statement? Because when we start responding from that dimension, he's fired. He's out of business. Outright out of business. Because at that level, we don't ask questions like, who sinned? The father or the mother that this child is born blind? We don't ask that question anymore. We're not asking the question, you have AIDS, you homosexual, we don't ask that question. You're sick, be healed. We don't ask foolish questions. We demonstrate the reality of who God is in the now. Is this too much for you? Okay. This is the assignment. This is what God is calling us to. And we better stop thinking human. We better start thinking light. I'm a light being. He is the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us. And we become every good and every perfect gift proceeds, comes from the Father of lights. And that which is from above is above all. We have the grace to dominate. Please, I encourage you, as I encourage myself to reflect on what the Lord is saying to us right now, because this is the future in the now. Because, listen to this, there is going to come a time when the spirit of the Antichrist is going to reign havoc in the earth. And the difference between those that make it through and those that are wiped out, even though they are saved, is the difference of this: people that know their God do exploits. If you don't know your God, you will be exploited. You choose whether you're going to be the victim or the victor. And it all changes with the renewing of our mind. I know that what we're talking about this morning is not what you go to church to hear generally. But you're here for a reason. You're part of this for a reason. You're listening for a reason, because you're not supposed to be the victim. You're a troublemaker. The devil is in trouble because we know who we are. Amen? Sickness, disease, poverty, fear, doubt, confusion, whatever is messed up out there, all of that's in trouble because they are fired. Because we are risen from the state of death and we have eternal life. Receive it and be it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.